The Mishnah taught about Gezel Ager, someone who steals from a convert. He swore falsely, claiming that he did not steal, and then he admitted, and then unfortunately the convert passed away, so he couldn't pay the convert what he owes him. Converts may not have any relatives. This convert had no relatives, so therefore the Torah gives that money to the Kohanim of that Mishmar, who are working the week that he comes up to bring his Karban Asham. So the Mishnah said, what happens if he came, he gave the stolen funds to the Kohanim, but before he got to bring his own Karban Asham, he died. So his children are not entitled to get the money back. That's it, the money already belongs to the Kohanim. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Shmami, now you see from here, that Kesef, just paying the money, Mechaper Mechts, already creates half of the atonement. Dilo Mechaper, because if giving the money would not create atonement, Havamina Mahadul Yarshin. So then, once he dies, and he doesn't need to bring a karban, because he's dead, he doesn't need atonement once he's dead, then the money that he gave to the Kohanim should go back to his kids. My time, because why? They can claim, he never would have given the money if he wasn't going to get the atonement. He didn't intend to give away money and not get atonement. So therefore, you're not entitled to it. So Gemara says, really, you can make such a claim? Elamayata, if you can say that. If a person dedicates a karban chatas and then he dies, the halach is that the karban has to be put into a jail and allowed to die on its own, to starve to death. I don't understand. Let's say that it becomes chulin again. Because we should say, if a person never made it a karban on the thought that maybe he wouldn't offer it. If he wasn't going to be able to offer it, he never wanted it to be a karban in the first place. The answer in the yeshiva, when the owner of a karban chatas dies, that karban chatas doesn't get offered. But rather, it has to be allowed to die. That's halach l'moshe misinai. The l'misa azlit, it goes to death. But if you have this logic that you could say, oh, it was all a mistake, I wouldn't have done it had we known that this is what was going to happen. Let's say the same thing about Asham Shemesu Baaleh. If a karban Asham's owners die, the halach is that you wait till the Asham gets a mum, a blemish, then it gets sold, and the money is used to purchase, the money goes to, as we've seen before, to Nedava, to be used for purchasing donations.
So they won't do the shechita for that korban.
They certainly won't do the shechita. So lepek l'chulin. Gemara says, but it should become secular.
It's blemish. I don't understand.
It walks around in the fields until it gets a mum, it gets a blemish. Then breaks a leg, or it swallows.
So why can't they sell it, before it gets blemished?
Before it gets blemished, it's still a full-fledged holy korban. Can't sell it. Once it gets blemished, so then he can sell it for its value.
This contradicts me, Rabbi. In one side, if he doesn't give an asham, he's one not yotze. Such a name, we say, bring the asham and put it to be mista'ev. So I don't catch.
He's dead. Right. He doesn't need. So once he dies, he doesn't need to bring the carbon anymore. He doesn't need to tell me. But he doesn't need atonement. The death already forgave whatever the sin was. So the Gemara says, if the owner of the Asham died, let the animal become secular. Because again, he had never dedicated it if he wasn't going to be able to offer it. And so the Gemara, Asham nam yuchsag mirla, again, it's halach l'moshe misinai, the kol shebachatas mesa, any situation where as a karban chatas, we would let it go to death, but Asham roa, we make it go to pasture, get a blemish, and once it gets a blemish, it gets sold, and the money gets used just to buy animals to keep the mizbeach busy. Elamayat, if this is the case, that you'll say that things maybe were all a mistake. Yavama, let's say a woman was married, her husband dies, they don't have kids, she goes now, she has to marry the brother-in-law. Let's say, shenaf l'flein mukashchin, she falls to a brother-in-law who's filled with leprosy. Tebek below chalitza, maybe she could be able to leave without even needing chalitza from him, and she can marry other people. She never would have sanctified herself knowing that she would end up having to be with someone with leprosy. Nope, awesome. Over there, Anan Sahadi, we know that she did intend to sanctify herself. A woman is willing to be married to any type of a man, even if there's a chance that that'll force her to to be stuck in front of a mukkah shchin. Kri Shlakish, as Shlakish has taught us many times in Maseches Kiddushin. Amar Shlakish, Shlakish said, women say to themselves, Tavlam Eitav Tandu, better to be living two bodies together, even if my husband's just a body, there's nothing really about him, Mila Mesav Armelu, than sitting alone as a virtual widow. So the Gemara says that there, you're right, really maybe she doesn't want, she never would have wanted to have been married if this is the eventuality. No. She'd be happy to be married to the husband that she was married to, because women have a very low standard in terms of what they're looking for in a husband. And even though there was a chance that she's going to end up with this brother-in-law who has shchin, and she doesn't like that, but she's still happy to be with the husband before, because she just wants to be with somebody. Yeah, but when he was alive, she just wanted to be with him.
But if the brother-in-law has leprosy, she doesn't get married to him?
They would have to do chalitza for her to be able to marry others. Yeah.
Even though he has leprosy, doesn't,
not automatically. Then the Mishnah taught us a law that when it comes to this payment of the money of the convert to the Kohanim, so the money has to be paid first, and then the karban is brought. What happens if Nasan Esakesav Yehoyariv? He gave the money to the Mishmar Yehoyariv, which is an earlier Mishmar, and the Asham and the karban to Yedaya, to a later Mishmar Yedaya, Yatza, he's Yotze. However, if he gave the Asham, the karban, to Yehoyariv, the karban was first when the money should have been first, and the money to Yedaya. So the Mishnah says, if the Asham hasn't yet been brought, so let the people of Yedaya bring the Asham. And if the Asham of Yedaya was already brought, he has to bring another karban, because it's really that the money should have been first. Tanar Barim looked in a braisa. Nasan Asham Liyehoyariv. Let's say again, he didn't do the right thing. He gave the karban Asham to the earlier group, to Yehoyariv. The earlier payment should have been the money, not the karban. But he gave the karban to the group of Yehoyariv. The Kesef Liyedaya. A couple months later, he gives the money to the Yedaya group. So Yachzir Kesef Eitzel Asham. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, the wrong thing. It was wrong. Let the Yedaya people bring the money back to the Yehoyariv group. Let the Yehoyariv group offer the Asham, and they get the money.
Chachamim Omrim. But this is stolen money, right?
Correct.
So isn't it an abomination to take the stolen money and make a korban?
No, the korban out. The money is being repaid. That's true, but this is not the stolen money. Is not the korban. The stolen money is given to the Kohanim, because there's no convert to give it to, and from his own money he's praying for another karban. It's his own money. Chacham say no. Yazir Asham Eitzel Kesef. The people of Yehoyariv should never have taken the karban, because first the money had to be paid and then the karban offered. They took the karban, so let them bring the karban to the people who have the money. So I'm going to ask, take them. What's the case? He gave the karban to the Yehoyariv family when the Yehoyariv family was on the Kesef, and then he waited a month and he gave the money that he had to pay back to the Yedaya family. Bimishmar to the Yedaya, the week that Yedaya was on. So I don't understand the real thing that was, I don't understand with Yehuda, the real thing that was done wrong was the Yedaya family. They should never have taken the money. He should never have taken the money, because the way it's supposed to be is the money is paid back first, and then the carbon is brought. And here the carbon was given to somebody else. So they were wrong, Yedaya was wrong, and Yehoyariv was wrong. So let Yehoyariv bring the carbon to Yedaya. If you don't want to make a punishment, so then Zezacha B'Shalom, Zezacha B'Shalom, each one can keep his part. But why do you say that Yedaya, who got the money, should go and give it back to the people who got the carbon? The people were never entitled to take the carbon yet. The money hadn't been returned. So Amar Rav, Rav said like this, Achav, may I ask you, what's going on here when Rabbi Yehuda makes this penalty? It was Yehoyariv group's week. And the man who stole brought his carbon Asham to them. Now that was wrong, because he should have first given them the money. The Kesef, but that same week he did give the money. He just gave it to the wrong group. The Kesef Liadaya, he gave the money to the Adaya family, b'mishmar to the Yehoyariv, when the Yehoyariv family was on. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda feels like this, given the lavishmar to Yedaya, he, since Yedaya should never have been taking the money, because it's not their week of working. So Liadaya kansinale, so we say to them, you took money that you weren't entitled to, it wasn't your week to work, you're not entitled to this gift, you should give the money back to the Yehoyariv family. And Rabbanan Savri, Rabbanan Sei, Shlokadin, whoever b'nei Yehoyariv, the children of Yehoyariv, that family was wrong. The Kiblu Asham Mekabli Kesef, they took the carbon, and they said they were going to offer the carbon before the money had been paid back, and the Torah talks about first paying back the money and then the carbon being offered. That's why they're the ones who are fined. The Yahzer Asham Eitzel Kesef, they should give the carbon back to the Yedaya family. Time when they did a braisa. My Rebbe said, Ladivir Rebbe Yehuda, according to Rebbe Yehuda, that the Adaya family is punished, and they need to give the money back to the Yehoyariv family. But if Bnei Yehoyariv not only did the sin of accepting the carbon before the money had been paid back, but they even offered this carbon, then Yachzer V'yavo Asham Acher, the carbon didn't work because it was the carbon offered before the money was paid back. So the carbon doesn't work. The one who stole, the thief, has to bring another carbon. And then he should bring that carbon to the children of Yedaya. Whereas the children of Yehoyariv, the carbon that they offer, they can keep. I mean, they said in the yeshiva, Lamai Chazi, what do you mean they can keep it? Asham Pasul Hu, it was a disqualified Asham, because it was an Asham brought before the money was brought, and the meat has to be thrown out. You can't eat the meat. Amarav, what does it mean they could keep it? They could keep the oro, they could keep the skin. Tanu, we look at another brisa. Amar Rebbe said, Ladiv Rebbe Yehuda, according to Rebbe Yehuda, who punishes the Mishmar of Yedaya for having accepted the money when it was the week of Yehoyariv. So according to Rebbe, Imkiim Asham, if Yehoyariv never brought the Asham and the Asham is still around, he would agree, Yachzir Asham Eitzel Kesef, that Yehoyariv should bring the carbon to Yedaya, and when it's the week of Yedaya, let them offer the Asham. What do you mean? I have a Rebbe Yachzir Kesef Eitzel Asham Eitzel, but Rebbe is the one who said that Yedaya has to give up the money and bring it back to Yehoyariv. Hachab Mayaskin, and the case is, remember, each week, each Mishmar gets a week. Then the next one gets a week. So what happens if Yehoyariv had their whole week? Hachab Mayaskin, it goes to Nafik Mishmar to Yehoyariv. Yehoyariv had his whole week. They're all leaving. The Lo Tavu. And Yedaya was around. That's why the guy gave the money to Yedaya, because they were around, but he wasn't supposed to. We should have given it to Yehoyariv people. And the Yehoyariv people never asked for the money. So if they didn't ask for the money, HaKamashman, the Chiddush is obviously Achul, Achul, Gabe, they're mochel the money. They never asked for it. So they were mochel it to the Yedaya people. So now, a month later, when it's Yedaya's turn to be in the Beis HaMikdash, the Yedaya people can ask for the carbon back, and they can get the Asham back from the Yehoyariv people. And then you have it all done right. They got the money first, and then they have the carbon. They can now offer the carbon. Tanya did another brisa. Amar Rabbi said, "Ladiv Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, im kayam asham. If that animal is still alive, yachzor kesef etzel asham. The Yedaya people should give the money back to the Yehoyariv group who has the asham. The Yehoyariv group should offer the asham, and they will keep the money." Cheat, of course, hachi isli. That's his whole point. So no, hachav mayaskin. The point is, in light of the last case, kevad enafik mishmartam dahani vehani. Let's say first he came, it was Yehoyariv's week, they were working. And he did the wrong thing. He brought them the Asham, not the money. And he gave the money to a group of Kohanim that aren't even working this week. He gave it to the Yedaya Kohanim. But the Yehoyariv Kohanim did not offer the Asham. And they didn't even ask for the money back. So now, a month later, when it's the Yedaya Kohanim's turn to do the service, they're the ones who are entitled to the Asham, and the Yehoyariv people should bring the Asham to them. But let's say they didn't ask for it, and the Yehoyariv people didn't bring the Asham to them. And now a month later it's back, Yehoyariv's turn again. So since both went through Velotavu, and they didn't ask for what they should have asked for, so Ma'od the Tame would have thought to say, Achuli Gabi Hadadi, maybe they've forgiven it to each other. They can each keep what they have. Kamashma, no, that's the Chiddush of Rabbi. I mean, we say, Kevin Lotavi, since they didn't ask for it, The Hajj Bereshit, go back to the original law. And the original law was the money that was given illicitly to the Yedaya group, when it was given to them when they weren't working, they need to cough up and give it back to the Hoyariv group that was wrong in accepting the Asham before the money had been paid back.
It's common to have a Koban stay for a month, like
Nothing here is common. The right thing to do would have been to bring the money back, give it, and then bring the carbon. The whole thing was out of order. You gave the carbon.
Rabbi, if tomorrow morning Bezrat Hashem Beit HaMikdash is built,
beautiful.
Go through all these things.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Shamei v'gzeilu atchelo hevi ashamo, for someone who brings the stolen goods back before bringing the carbon asham, did not fulfill his obligation. Not immediately. How do we know this? At first you have to pay back the money to the Kohanim, and then you get to bring your carbon. Amar Rava, Rava said, Amar Karkus, the Pasuk says, Ha'asham, Hamushav Lashem, La Kohen, the guilt which is returned to God is given to the Kohen. Milvad El Kippurim, this is besides the Ram of Atonement, Asher Yechaper Bo, that will atone to him, that will atone for the person. Mechal the Kesep Bereshit, implying that first the money is paid back, that's the Asham. And then there is atonement. So there was a rabbi who said to Rav, based on this, when the Pasuk says about a carbon musaf, that the musaf of Pesach is brought, milvad olas haboker, besides the carbon of the morning, the ol of the morning, does that mean michlad musaf and bereisha? Does it mean that first you bring the musaf and then you have the carbon ol of the morning? How do we know that you should never have any carbon brought before the carbon tamid of the morning? Because the pasuk says, "V'yarach aleh ha'ola," and he will arrange on it the ola. Amar Rav, Rav explained, "Ha'ola, the ola means ola rishona, the very first ola." And Lacy said to him, "I'm asher yechaper bo nafkale. I learned from the words asher yechaper bo that he will atone for it. That a dying low keeper, ha'asham amushav." The guilt offering is returned, and namely the Karen, the principal, is returned. And besides the carbon, Asher Yechaperbo, that will atone and hasn't yet atoned, that carbon hasn't yet been brought. Then we learn Nasan Lo Sakarim, Nasan Lo Sachomesh. If the person paid to the Kohanim, the principal, and not the fifth, Ein Achomesh Ma'akev, he still got atonement. How do we know that? On Rabban, we learned in Abraisa Minayin. How do we know? So we actually learn it from Mi'ila. We know that there's another case where you have to pay the principal and a fifth and bring a carbon. That's when a person uses an object of hektish. How do we know Shem Hevi Mi'ilasa? Below Hevi Ashamo, that if he brought his principal and he didn't bring the carbon, Asham. How do we know? Or Asham, we brought the carbon, but he hasn't paid the principal back to Hekdesh, lo yatz, he hasn't fulfilled his obligations. Tamaloma, that's what the Pasuk says. Be'el ha'asham nislach lo. He has to have the ram of atonement, and it'll be forgiven for him. Uminayin, how do we know? She may be Ashamach lo hevi mi'ilaso, shlo yatz, I don't know if he brings the carbon without paying back, he's not yotze. Tamaloma, that's what the Pasuk says. Be'el ha'asham. It says about the, it says, Be'el Ha'asham, with the ram that already was in Asham. The ram that already was for the guilt, that Ha'asham Bikfar, the guilt, the principal is already paid back. Yachol Kishem, Sha'ayel V'asham Akvin, maybe the same way we're saying now in Mi'ila, you have to pay the principal and you have to bring the karban. Kachomesh Ma'akev, also the added fifth is absolutely required, and without the added fifth, you don't get atonement. Tamaloma, that's what the Pasuk says, Be'el Ha'asham. Vinislachlo, Ayil Vasham Akfim, Behekdesh, Be'el Ha'asham, with the ram and the guilt. The guilt, the principle, and the ram are what create the atonement. Ve'en Chomesh Miyake, but the fifth is not needed to create the atonement. Even if he didn't pay the fifth, he still gets atonement. So that's the source in regards to Mi'ila. The fifth is not Ma'akev. So now going back to our case in regards to stealing from a ger, V'yilmad hektish mehedyot vehedyot mehektish. We know that we derive lessons of the sacred from that which is simple, simple, and that which is simple from the sacred. Hektish mehejo, we learn hektish from hejo. So not asham da hasam karen, just like the word asham there referred to the principle. Af asham da hacham karen, so too here in regards to me'ilah, when it talks about asham, it's referring to the principle. Hejot mehektish, and hejot from hektish. Not hektish, just like in regards to hektish, we just said it says ha asham and the aisle. The ram and the principle are needed. In chomesh ma'akev, but the fifth is not absolutely required to maintain, to get atonement. So too, in stealing from heck from a convert, the added fifth is not required into, it doesn't prevent atonement. Hajan Allah, what's the Hashem Yisbarach,
Hagozel Eitz. So Rabbi, in abbreviation, they have to pay the monetary first, before the korbanot gets shed.
Correct. Right? And they need to pay the money to the kohanim of that mishmar, of that group.
That group. Now, what happens if they bring the korbanot first? Okay,
it's disqualified.
Will not shech it till,
well, no, if they shechted it, it would have to be junked. You know, the meat gets burnt, you can't eat it.
They could keep it there till they give the money first, and then
correct.
They could shech it.
Correct. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Yes, we can conclude it. I don't know if you will care. By giving the money, it's being yotze first.
Yeah, he has to pay the money to the Kohanim of this Mishmar, and then he can bring the Karban Asham. No, he needs both to get atonement. Both are needed. The Ash, the principle, and the Karban together get him the atonement. So now we begin another chapter. Hagozel, if a person steals, umachilas banav, and he gives it to his children, and the children eat it, or he stole. He left it to his children, he left it to them, and they ate it, presumably. So, Ptur Mila Shalit, they no longer have to pay back. We'll see what that means in the Gemara, but if it's something that has responsibility, the kids have to pay, even though their father, the thief, is no longer alive. Explains the Gemara. Amar Rav Chizda had a rule. If somebody steals, and the victim has not despaired of the item. Uvach, and then somebody else came, v'achlumimenu, he ate and consumed that item. Ratzim yizegover, the victim can either demand payment from the one who stole from him, or ratzim yizegover, he can demand payment from the person who ate it. Why? My time. Because kol kamdil nusyashu abaylim, so long as he, the victim, has not despaired, birshu sayudim arekai, it still was the property of the victim. So somebody comes and he eats my loaf, it's really my property, so he also is a thief. So both one and two are thieves, and therefore he can collect from either one. Ask the Gemara, what about our Mishnah? It's not our Mishnah, said Agozel, if a person steals, umachil es banav, and then he gave it to his children to eat, or iniach lifnam, or he left it before them, ptur milisham, they don't need to pay. So to you have to do Rav Chizda, that seems to be that Rav Chizda is wrong. Rav Chizda said, no, Kitanya hi, when did our Mishnah say that the children don't have to pay? Li'achar yish, after the original owner despaired. It was stolen from me. I gave up on getting it back. And then the children ate it. So there was first yish, it was despair. And then after there was despair, there was a shini rishus. It became the property of the children. So yish v'shini rishus makes it theirs. They don't have to give it back. He, the one who stole from me, has to pay me back. Then the Mishnah says, or if he had left it before the children, they don't need to pay. So I'm Rabbi Baruch Hama. Rabbi Baruch Hama said, Zosomeres, that seems to imply, Rishus Yorish, Rishus Lokeach Dami, that when a child inherits, that's the equivalent of somebody buying. So we have an idea that Yush Vashinu Rishus, if the victim despaired, and after the despair, the thief changed the properties, a domain, went from one domain to another domain, then the thief, the victim doesn't get it back. So you see here that when someone inherits, that's like somebody buying, or that's like somebody getting a gift. That's already considered a new domain. Rava said, no, Rishus Yorish, Lavt Rishus Lokeach Dami, the domain of the one who inherits is not the same as the domain of the one who buys. Hachab am I asking, and what's the case here? Where the item was already consumed, the item is not around. First, what do you mean it's not around? I mean, the Ketanei Sefer, since it says at the end of the Mishnah, if it's something which is, has responsibility, namely everybody knows about it, then they have to give it back. Then it implies that the Mishnah is talking about where the item is around, but not everybody knows about it. Rava will tell you, that's not what it means in Yesh Lemachrayas. Yesh Lemachrayas doesn't mean if it's an object that everybody knows about. Achikam, this is what the Mishnah is saying. If the father stole it and they ate it, and then the father died and the father left them land, so since it was consumed in the lifetime of the father, it became an obligation of money that the father has to pay. So any obligation of money on the father leaves land, has to be paid by the children. They have to pay. No, he left them the land, and there's a lien on the land, so they have to pay from the land. Ask the Gemara, Iva Masni Le Rabbi, Rabbi Shimon Berei. We know that Rabbi taught to his son Rabbi Shimon a different explanation of the Mishnah. That Lo Davash Yesh Bachrayus Mamish, I didn't mean that the father left land to the children. Even if the father left a cow that's being used for plowing, Chamor Mechamer Allah Achrav, he left a donkey that was stolen, that people are walking after it, so everybody knows that it's stolen. And the children have to give it back because it's disrespectful to the father if they're holding on to the stolen property of father. So Ella Amar Rava, so therefore Rava said, Kishchivna, when I'm going to die, Rabbi Yoshi Nafik Levasi, Rabbi Yoshi is going to come out and greet me, the Tritz, the Masnissan Kavase, because I'm explaining the Mishnah like him. The Tani Rabbi Yoshi, because Rabbi Yoshi taught in a Braisa, Hagozilum Achilas Ban of somebody who steals and he gives it to his children to eat. Pturin, those children, after the father dies, don't have to, Lashalim, don't have to pay. But if he left it in front of them, Gzela Kayemes, and the stolen object is around, Chayav, they need to give the object back. Ainak Gzela Kayemes, if the object is not around, Turin, they don't need to pay. But if the father left them land, even though the object is not around, Chayav and Lashalim, then they need to pay. So you see that according to Reb Oshia, the way to read the Mishnah is saying that if there is land, then they need to pay, and not saying that if there is a stolen object that's famous, they need to give that back, although that certainly is true as well. Yeah.